Now, listen to the Chapel Platform originating from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. A vital factor in the spiritual growth of believers is biblical preaching at the various chapel and worship services here. Dr. Thurman Wisdom gives the introduction. Our speaker is Dr. Mark Vittori, Executive Director of Gospel Fellowship Association in Greenville, South Carolina. Preparation and prayer, reading the Word, do prepare God's servants for any mission field. Dr. Vittori delivered this message on Friday, September 20th, 1985, at a missionary chapel. He shows some basic and often simple needs that impact any mission field. His text is Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. His message is titled, Four Basic Needs of Any Mission Field.
Today is our missionary chapel. You know, at the heart of Christianity is missions. And everyone, no matter what his call, ought to be interested in missions. You may be called to the business world, but you ought to at least have a missions heart. And you ought also to pray seriously about the call to missions, whatever your walk of life is right now. Today's speaker will be Reverend Mark Vittori, who's our representative of Gospel Fellowship Missions. Reverend Mark Vittori will preach to us.
This year will mark the 25th anniversary of Gospel Fellowship Association Missions. We praise the Lord that for all these years, we've had a mission board that's been able to stand true and unwaveringly hold to their position and their philosophy of missions. Since 1961, the year that GFA Missions was started, GFA Missions has completed 25 years of winning souls to Christ, establishing churches, establishing Bible institutes to train the national leaders that they might go on and continue with the ministry. Since 1961, GFA Missions has completed 25 years of contending for the faith. The mission board stands ready, if necessary, to stand and to contend for the faith. Since 1961, GFA Missions has completed 25 years of cooperating with fundamental, independent, biblical churches here in the United States. This year, we would like, if the Lord would permit, to be able to sign up and send out 25 new missionary candidates. I would challenge you that if you have interest in missions, whether you're not sure the Lord has called you to the mission field or not, but would like to find out more and have some questions, I'd invite you to come see me. Have your Bibles. Let's open Romans chapter 10. My family and I, we have enjoyed tremendously being missionaries, going to a field, taking the gospel to the lost, traveling on deputation or on furlough, meeting people, preaching in churches. It wasn't very uncommon, though, as we went to many of these churches to, after the service, as we're shaking hands and greeting the people after the service, to have a family come up and the little children kind of poke between the legs of their parents and maybe reach out and touch my leg or touch the hand of my wife. And the parents, of course, would excuse their child's actions by saying, well, they just wanted to touch and feel and see just exactly what a real missionary felt like. Just as if we were some kind of extraterrestrial from some other world or something. But we found that generally in churches that as we visited, that people looked at a missionary as being someone unusual, different, having a distinct ministry. But really, you get right down to it, the basics, there's no difference between the ministry of a missionary and any other servant of Christ here in the United States. There are basic needs to any mission field. Yes, missionaries many times have to go and learn a foreign language, adapt themselves to a foreign culture, possibly use some different methods. But you get right down to it, there are four basic needs of any mission field. Whether you're here in Greenville, South Africa, Mexico, Japan, there are four basic needs of any mission field. And if we, as believers in Christ, are going to have an effective ministry for Christ, we need to realize what these four basic needs are and dedicate ourselves to fulfill these basic needs. This morning we're going to look at these four basic needs. Of course, before the message, just ask God's blessing. Father, we ask now that you will direct us, speak to hearts, use this message for thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The four basic needs of any mission field. The first need that we're going to see this morning is the need of the sinner. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The need of the sinner this morning is the Savior. Not man's social gospel. Faith comes by supplying the need of man's heart through the preaching of the Word of God, not through the supplying of the stomach with bread. I've heard many preachers say that we need to, first of all, show the people our love, our compassion. We need to feed them and clothe them so that they might see our love for them and accept Christ, to have faith and be able to believe in Christ and be saved. A few months ago, I heard on the radio a preacher talking about a particular ministry they had somewhere on the other side of the world. Of course, I've never heard of the place before. Mentioned that they wanted to feed these children and was encouraging the radio listeners to send in their $15, $20, $100, $500,000 checks to pay for the food, to feed these children, and in their words, that they might have faith and be saved. Faith comes through the preaching of the Word of God, not through supplying man's stomach with bread. Many of these preachers that preach a social gospel will preach from John chapter 6. They say, "Well, we must pattern our ministry after the ministry of Christ. He had compassion on the multitudes. He fed the multitudes." And every time I've heard them preach from that chapter, I want to say, "Well, why don't you read the rest of the story? Read the rest of the chapter." I don't believe that Christ fed the multitudes with the purpose of producing faith in the people. He did because there was a need, a physical need. He didn't do it for a spiritual reason. If you read that chapter, John chapter 6, you're going to find in the first part of the chapter, Christ feeding the 5,000. And many times I've preached from that passage, made many spiritual applications. You remember thinking that must have been the focal point of that chapter. But as you read that chapter and study it more, you'll find that in the center part of the chapter, we have another miracle that took place that evening. We know that Christ went down, took his disciples down to the sea, put them in a boat, told them to go across the sea, and he'd meet them on the other side the next day. You remember the story that the storm came, Christ came to them walking on the water, calmed the sea. Another tremendous miracle. Another tremendous story that we can make many spiritual applications from. But I believe that the focal point of that chapter is yet to come. The events that happen the day after. We find Christ and the disciples on the other side of the sea. We can read in the chapter that the people that were fed the day before, then the scripture doesn't tell us if it was the entire group, but it says they took shipping, they got into boats, they came across the sea, and the scripture says, seeking Jesus. Again, I've heard preachers preach from that passage, saying, "Well, see there, because of the supplying of their body, the physical supplying of that bread the day before, they were seeking Jesus." But as we notice, Christ's response when they came to him, he says, "You seek me not because of what I taught you, but because I fed you and you were filled." They said, "What must we do then to work the work of God?" Christ says, "Believe on him whom the Father hath sent." And we can see that Christ, after this, preached to them the salvation. The salvation which was in himself. Used an illustration, the bread of life. Saying that anyone who would eat that bread would never hunger again. It's interesting, we read in chapter 6, verse 66. That after they heard that, after they found out they weren't going to be fed again, they got in their ships and went home. Social programs is not the basic need of the sinner. I believe social programs usually end in spiritual starvation, not salvation. The need of the sinner is not man's social gospel, but God's saving grace. You know, we can compare this example with the example in John chapter 4. Christ sitting at the well, a woman came up. Now ask yourself, was Christ really concerned about her physical, her social well-being? Do we find Christ running up and grabbing that water pot from that woman and saying, here, let me draw the water and water your cattle, provide the water for your family, that you might see my compassion and love for you and you might be saved? Hardly. We see the contrary. We find him sitting at the well and saying, woman, give me to drink. He asked of the woman. He wasn't concerned about her physical, her social well-being, but something far more important. He proceeded to preach to her the salvation which was in himself. The same gospel message he preached, or he would preach in the next couple chapters, in chapter 6, to these other people. So the bread of life, he talked about the living water, that if she were to drink of that, she would never thirst again. We find the woman believing, accepting Christ as the Savior, going into the nearby town, bringing others to Christ, not seeking any personal gain or reward. That's salvation. The need of the sinner this morning is the Savior. We need to realize that. We need to dedicate ourselves to supplying that need, taking the Savior to the sinner. The second need of any basic need of any mission field is the need of the Savior. We'll see in verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The need of the Savior, servants. Not begging scavengers. I believe the results of a social gospel is a parasite Christian. Some people have called them rice Christians. I like to refer to them as mutinaries, seeking what they can gain out of serving Christ and not what they can put into it. Paul, when he's writing to the church at Philippi, was going to send Timothy to them. He wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. He says, I have no man like-minded as he, talking about Timothy. For all others seek their own and not the things of Christ's. Paul says, I wish I could send you more men to help. But all I have is one. All I have is one. All others seek their own. He says, I have too many mutinaries, not enough missionaries. Very possibly Christ foreseeing the future ministry of the church. Matthew chapter 9 says, truly the harvest is plenteous, but what the laborers are few. So few laborers, so few missionaries, so many mutinaries. The need of the Savior are not begging scavengers, but giving saints. Saints that are willing to exchange the temporal pleasures and comforts of this world for something more satisfying. You notice I use the word exchange. I believe when a person serves Christ, he doesn't give up anything. You exchange it for something better. We left Mexico in 1983. We came up here for the World Congress of Fundamentalists. Came down with hepatitis. I haven't been back since. Have some continued liver problems. When we first came home from the field, we were flown back home to Michigan, Detroit area, where we're from. Spent several months, 4 months, flat on my back in bed, many more months before I could even get up and get myself moving around. Now, I have a lot of respect and love for my stepfather. He's helped me a lot during my lifetime. And I think he was trying to be helpful again. My father works for one of the big auto companies in Detroit as one of the interior design. He works interior design. And he talked with me about the possibility of teaching me design and getting into the corporation and getting what maybe he may have termed a real job. He was telling me that how much money I could make, and I thought, well, I could, if I worked for this company, I can make in 3 or 4 months what I make in all year now down in Mexico as a missionary. But as I thought about it, I thought, no, that corporation could not pay me what I get now. They could give me more money. but they'll never be able to give me the satisfaction, the joy that I have now serving Christ as a missionary. My father told me, he said, there is a certain amount of satisfaction and joy working for a multi-billion-dollar corporation, being able to design these cars. And after a few months, seeing these cars going down the highway is a shining example of the technology and the ability of that auto company. Now, I come from Detroit, and if you see a car more than 10 years old up there, you're doing pretty good. If the salt on the highway doesn't eat them up and destroy them, the wild drivers up there will destroy you. They say there's only two kinds of drivers up there, the quick and the dead. You're the quick or you're dead. 10 years, the lifetime of average lifetime of a car up there. And I thought, my father, dedicating his life for that, do I want to dedicate myself to something that lasts for such a short time and it's gone? I began to evaluate our position as ministers of Christ and began to realize that our work, our ministry as servants of Christ begins in that junk heap, that garbage dump. People's lives who have been ruined and destroyed by sin, able to see them get saved, grow in Christ, and go on for an eternity as a shining example of the power and grace of God. I thought to myself, there's no comparison between the two jobs. The need of the Savior are servants. Men and women willing to give of themselves, not to be a missionary, be a missionary. You know, each one of us here this morning is one of two things. You're either a missionary or a missionary. Are you serving Christ, or are you one of those that Paul mentioned that is serving themselves? We saw the need of the sinner was the Savior. The need of the Savior are servants. We'll see the third need. It's the need of the servants. Verse 15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The need of the servants is to be sent. Now the word sent there doesn't mean that, for instance, if there's a young fellow in your prayer group or someone in your home church who wants to be a missionary, so you pass around the hat one evening, take up an offering, get up enough money to buy a one-way airline ticket, slap that in his hand and boot him out the door and say, "Adios, we've sent you." I believe sending involves so much more. I believe it involves, first of all, the preparation. I believe the call to serve is a call to study. The call to preach is a call to prepare. Remember when I was a student here a few years ago, talking with some other students and saying, "Well, I can't wait to get out so I can get going in the will of God." I had to say, "Well, what do you think you're doing now? This is God's will for your life. Preparing yourselves. What are you here for?" Not to waste time, I hope. This is God's calling for your life right now. This is the first step in being sent as a servant of Christ. This is preparation. Being sent involves preparation. It involves being ordained and given the authority to go out and to preach. It also involves being supported by encouragement. You know, we think of the Apostle Paul many times as being such the tremendous missionary. Have you ever asked yourself how many times Paul must have been discouraged, wanting to give up, disappointed, disgusted in people, disappointed in his own efforts? But I like what he said in Philemon, as he wrote to Philemon in verse 7. He said, "Brother," some of the words, "I appreciate you. You've encouraged me. You've supported me. You've been behind me." Sending servants involves supporting them through encouragement. Also supporting them through prayer. I really believe that's the source of the spiritual power in the field. I would sure like to see every night, mission prayer band, more people out praying. we were on the field for several years. We can give testimony of the many times that we sensed the power of the prayer of God's people in our lives, in the ministry down there, because people were praying. They need to be supported by prayer. And of course, supported financially. The need of the servants is to be sent, prepared, ordained, supported, and sent out. Now let's continue. We saw the need of the servants is to be sent, and now last of all, the need for sending the servants is to stop Satan. Verse 16 says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report?" Why is there such a tremendous need for sending servants is to stop Satan's lie? I keep hearing from many television preachers and radio preachers about a great worldwide revival that's supposed to be taking place in this world today. I'm having a hard time finding it. I see it not so much as revival, but rather growing clouds of apostasy, as more and more people are believing and following the lie of Satan. Why do we need to send servants? To stop Satan. To stop his lie. To preach God's eternal word. Revival is not names written down on a decision card. Revival is redeemed, changed lives to live for the glory of God. We need to send servants to preach God's word. Where does that leave us? Verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, these four basic needs: the need of the sinner, the Savior, that talks about salvation; the need of the Savior, our servants, that talks about dedication; the need of the servants to be sent, that talks about preparation, supporting; the need to send the servants is to stop Satan's lie, that's proclamation of the gospel, of the word of God. And where does that end? As you preach the word of God, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God." That produces more faith. That the sinner might be saved, might have the chance to dedicate himself, might become prepared, become a preacher, to go out and preach the word of God, that more might be saved. See, this is a continuous cycle. And I'm convinced that if one of those links of that chain is removed, that the individual ceases to produce fruit for Christ, lasting fruit for Christ. Many people get saved. They get their need fulfilled. But they never go on to that next step and become a servant of the Savior. There's a little chorus that says, "Be a servant of the Savior is the greatest work of all. Be a servant true and faithful, oh, heed His urgent call." Being a servant of the Savior is the greatest work of all. But many Christians never move on to that next link in the chain and supply the need of the Savior and become a servant. Many people dedicate themselves to become a servant of God, but they never follow through with their preparation. They come to a school like this and begin preparing themselves and later quit. We need to finish God's will right here with preparing ourselves. Then there are those who get saved, dedicate themselves to Christ, prepare themselves, and they go out into the world to preach. And they preach, and preach faithfully. But even there, Satan tempts them to fall by the wayside. Satan is working at each one of the links of that chain, trying to cause that cycle to be stopped. Maybe another need that we could add on to this, maybe there's a fifth need of every mission field, is the need of saints, which is sight. A vision of what can be done if we do the work of God correctly. Dedicate ourselves, prepare ourselves, go out and faithfully preach the Word of God. We need some more missionaries to go around the world. We need some more missionaries to stay right here in the United States. But we need to get that vision of what God can do through us as individuals. Let's let God work in our hearts and become a servant of the Savior. Let's pray. Father,
We ask now that you will bless and direct through this message. Speak to our hearts. Show us those areas in our life that are a hindrance to our being used efficiently and effectively for Thee. Help that one that may be here this morning that is maybe discouraged, maybe has been tempted to quit his preparation to hear. Help that one to have strength and desire to stay faithful to Thee. Lord, help us to be missionaries for Thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you've just heard on the chapel platform can be yours. Please send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. The zip code is 29614. Please mention the speaker, Dr. Mark Batory, that's spelled Batory, the message titled, Four Basic Needs of Any Mission Field, and also be sure to mention today's date. The chapel platform is sponsored by Bob Jones University.